Thanks, Andy. We're going to have the Bible reading now, which is from James chapter 1, verse 2 to 12. So from verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant, its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for the truth it teaches us about you and for the life it gives to us. And I pray that as Jason comes to speak to us today, that your words would come from him, that everything he has to say would be from you. And I pray for our hearts that you would soften them and help us to be hearing what you want us to learn and grow in today. Please challenge us and help us to become more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I feel like you nearly called me Jesus, George. Hey, as we're doing a series on counting, Kim, have you got my sermon up there? And if you do, could I have it? Hey, that's good. I was like, where do I put this thing? As we're doing a series on counting, I've got this math problem for you to just get started. It's from a great book called Thinking Fast and Slow by Daniel Kahneman. Anyone read that book? I keep reading books that nobody else has read. What's wrong with me? Okay, follow very carefully. A bat and a ball, they cost $1.10. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? All right, so a number's probably come to your mind. Is the number 10 cents? Because if it is, you're wrong. That is the incorrect answer. And the fascinating thing about this simple puzzle is it feels so right to say 10 cents, doesn't it? Bat and ball cost $1.10. The bat costs $1 more than the ball. How much does the ball cost? 10 cents seems obvious, but it's wrong. Because let's do the math. If the ball costs 10 cents, then the total cost would be $1.20. You know, 10 cents for the ball and $1.10 for the bat. So it's not right. The correct answer is 5 cents. So just out of interest, honesty, of course, we're in church and God will strike you down if you're lying. Who got that correct? There you go. There's a handful of people here. But having said you got that correct, I wonder if the answer 10 cents still popped into your head first. Because what we need to do with these kinds of problems, which look so easy, is not go into autopilot. You have to, the whole premise of the book, so you don't even need to read the book now, the whole premise of the book is you need to slow your thinking down and think more carefully, particularly when your intuition drives you to the wrong answer. In life, it is intuitive for us to think that trouble and trial threaten faith. That's intuitive. One of the most common questions, if you're a Christian, that you'll get from people who aren't Christians is, if there was a loving God, why does he allow suffering? Because their intuition is that suffering and love do not go together. Their intuition is that if you suffer, that the response you'll make to that suffering is you'll reject the God of love. That's their intuition. That feels very obvious. So it is a surprise to us to hear James say this in verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Is that not a surprise? That when you face suffering, you are to be joyful about it. You are to celebrate it. So what can James possibly mean by what he says here? It doesn't feel right. Think back over the past year. Can you identify many pain points, many challenges over your past 12 months? For many people, in fact most people, you wake up in the morning and life is happy and good. And that would be probably your experience of the year. For some of us, you get up and life is difficult for you for a range of reasons. Health, your mental health, your extended family or friends that might also be in trouble. But we all get our turn. We all have the opportunity to experience pain. And as you think about your last year, how many, can you count your pain? Can you count your pain? And as you think about that pain and those moments that you might have had, how will you count that as joy? The simple sum is to count your pain. The far more difficult challenge is to count joy. And James gives us his wisdom on this in verse 3. If you read with me, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It seems obvious to the people that we live with, and maybe even to ourselves, that trouble and trial would threaten faith. What James says it does, when you have trouble and trial in your life, it strengthens your faith. That's the non-intuitive answer. That when you have trouble and trial, it gives you muscles to your faith. There are certain things in life that you can only know by testing for failure. When I did engineering, we had a subject called Materials 1 and 2, I think it was called. And there are a few engineers in this room, so they'd know what I'm talking about. How do you test tensile strength, engineers? You test it by smashing it. You smash things in that subject. So we spent an entire year smashing stuff. That's how we tested the strength of the material, was by breaking it. How do you test your fitness? I have a ride that I do. I've mentioned it a few times. That's my test. And why do I do the test? It's a terrible climb. And I'm pushing myself to see how far I can go. It feels horrible, but I'm testing my fitness. I believe that the Lewises run our children in holiday programs through the beep test. Is that correct, Kristen? And if you've ever done the beep test, has anyone done the beep test here? You'll know that there are, yeah, funny about that. If you've ever done the beep test, you know that you keep doing it until you can't. That it gets quicker and quicker, and you've got to run the same pace, and you just keep going until you fail. That's how you test your fitness. Well, it turns out with our character and with our faith, there are things that we can only test by tests of failure. They test us till they break us. Tests like patience. Are you a patient person? You really know that when you meet annoying people. I was explaining to somebody the other day who, I mean, many of us have a view of church life. That church life should be harmonious and happy. It turns out that one of the things we're meant to cultivate in each other's lives as we follow Jesus is called patience. And we do that by testing one another with irritating traits. How, what else do we test in our character? Well, I think you cannot test perseverance and resilience without trial and challenge. You cannot know if you are a resilient person or a persevering person until you are tested by trial. And the result of that test, James goes on to say in verse 4, is let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And verse 12, he finishes it off. Blessed are those who persevere under trial, because when they have stood the test, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. You will know about perseverance because trial and challenge come your way and you keep going anyway. You keep believing anyway. And the promise of that kind of characteristic in you is that you will be mature, you'll be complete, that you'll not lack anything in who you are as a person, and finally that you will receive the crown of life that God promises. That you'll see at the end of all this that there is worth in it. I want to remind us that as Christians, we're not here just to survive, just to get through the day. The bar is higher for us. We are called to live a life that counts, that makes a difference in the world, that is not just good for me, but good for others too. And that can be in very quiet, regular ways, which is living a godly life in your work and in your home. It could be through using your words to witness to faith in Jesus. It could be through pretty courageous leadership when you promote godly values, virtue and honour. It could be all these things, but our lives are not meant to be lived in diminished ways. The kingdom of God is meant to be better off because you are participating in it and giving out to others. That's the way it's meant to be. So if you were to live a life that is not just about you, that is courageous, that influences, is not just influenced, that doesn't just live for itself, you're going to need strength and you're going to need courage. You're going to need persistence, resilience. For any of us who try to launch into the life that God calls us, you'll constantly find it's more than you can handle. More than you can handle. So you're going to need muscles. You're going to need to push yourself up steep hills. You're going to need to be tough. And where do you learn all that? You learn it under trial. You learn it under challenge. I want to say to us, life is challenging full stop. You get out of bed and it's a hard thing anyway. We were cursed in our work. You might remember Adam was told that he'll work and the ground itself is going to resist his efforts. We were cursed in a sense in raising our children, though from the very beginning they were pains, weren't they? But it can be hard work anyway. It's especially hard work when you're a follower of Jesus. When you signed up to become a follower of Jesus, it isn't just a gravy train from now on. For anyone who tells you that following Jesus is all about blessing, and it is of course got blessing in it, but not challenge, they're lying. They're lying. When you signed up to follow Jesus, it was more like you signed up to join a rugby game. Like if you're a rugby player, are you expecting a beating? Or an AFL game, a footy game. You signed up for something serious. You signed up to be put in the way of harm. The devil is not a fan of you. The people often that we're living with aren't always big fans of the choices you make. Just choosing to do good is already hard work within us, not just without us. Anybody who wants to put themselves into a serious call, serious sport, if you want to grow your business, for instance, you expect to pay some cost. Why don't you expect that in your Christian faith? Why is it that when we go through a whole year and we experience trial and challenge, we say to God very naturally, why is this happening? How could you do this to me? I'm forewarning you because this year coming, I'm not saying I'm making this happen, but you may just find yourself as you go through this year going, oh, that was hard. Some of you young people already know you're going to go into this year and say as you go, the people I'm doing school with are not helping me follow Jesus. No, they're not. They're not going to help you follow Jesus. They'll probably push against you. And you should expect that. In our own personal lives, if you're running a business and you're trying to do the right thing, many people around you are not trying to do the right thing. If they see an opportunity for exploitation in your business, they will take it. And you may say, God, why did you let this happen to me? Well, that's the evil world we live in. It is against you. Trial and challenge comes your way. In your family life, there is no guarantee that every single one of your kids will be an angel every day of the year. Mine are, of course, but it's hard work. It's hard work. And not only is it hard work just being a parent, it's hard work being a parent who wants their children to follow Jesus. It's doubly hard work. Because everything is against them on this matter. Social media, TV, Netflix, school, friends, everything is against them on this matter. And we may say to God, why isn't it easier? No, it's not easy because following Jesus is not easy. And when we're tested as Christians, and we respond with perseverance, we just keep on keeping on, then that shows us and even God that something real is happening in our life. That courage is growing in us. That resilience is really true. And that's why James says, when you're tested and under trial, count it pure joy because you're growing up in faith and even in life. How do you count joy? It's not simple. 2 + 2 is a simple sum. Try this. 27 times 35. Leave it with you. 27 times 35 is simpler than counting joy. Seeing joy in the midst of pain is difficult stuff. Because we're scared of pain. We don't like it. The economist tells us that all of us live to maximize pleasure and minimize pain. Here's the weird thing about pain. We're really scared of it. But it turns out that most of life's most precious, richest lessons come out of pain. Think about, for you, when you grew the most. We heard it in Camilla's story, did you not? In that challenge, all those challenges. Each time that challenge came and they responded with honest, this is tough, where are you, God? It took him to another level. That's true, by the way, even if you're not a Christian. Pain teaches you the most. And we want to minimize it. Not only do we want to minimize it, but it turns out in our world, we'll pay good money to get rid of it. We'll write letters and complain to schools to make sure our children don't experience pain. We'll shift schools so that our children are happier. Turns out that our young people more than ever are scared of pain. All surveys of, sadly, your current generation is that you do not like pain. You're really scared of it. It's the worst thing that could ever happen to you. Simon and I were talking this week about how much risk can we have in youth group? Is a broken leg appropriate? Should we answer that question? It's a scratch. Or does it have to be really contained? How much risk can we take? We hover over our children. We hover over our society. It makes us scared because we're scared of pain. But it's pain that teaches us. It turns out that the impact of trial is not what you experience in the pain. It's what you remember. The impact of the trial is not what you experience, it's what you remember. Ask any woman who's had a baby. I was there. It looked awful. That whole, like, it is genuinely horrible giving birth. And I was a spectator. And I'm not saying that any woman remembers giving birth with fondness, but what they remember is their children. That's what they remember. And I was only talking about this the other day, is the way it ended, for most women in Australia at least, the way it ended was with joy. So what it does is it puts the pain, it frames it in a way that you don't remember the pain in quite the same way. It turns out the memory of pain is the thing that we're scared of, not the pain itself. Because people can put up with a lot of pain if they've got something on the other side of it. Something that helps them remember it differently. If it's a rider in a Tour de France, they can put up with extraordinary pain because they're hoping to win. They want to remember that pain in a different way. And this is what James's wisdom is for us, is when you look at all your trial and when you look at all your challenge, remember it with joy. Remember it not as pain, but with joy, because it trains your faith. It grows you up. It matures you. It completes you. It helps you not lack anything. And finally, it grows you up ready for the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Christians have a fantastic way to remember every challenge that comes their way. I know I could tell countless stories of Christians that I personally know who've done this in extraordinary ways, even in this church. But I'll just tell one. That's my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law, Bruce, had multiple myeloma. He was 50 when that was discovered. And over 10 years, he wrestled with that. When I first met Bruce, he was one of those irritating people, grew patience in me, irritating people who could see the positive in everything. Do you know people like that? And the thing that I would say about Bruce, who experienced extraordinary pain, was he counted it joy because he had his eyes on Jesus and what it was forming in him. And Bruce, because of his response to his trial, which eventually led to his death, grew in us, for those of us who saw him, faith. I could tell you more and more stories of Christians who've lived lives like that. And I'm saying to you today, as you approach this year with all its promise of trial and challenge, experience it with joy, because it's growing in you something great. Let me pray. Our God, it's trial and challenge and pain are real. That's not what this message is about. In fact, because it is real, that's why it bursts in us perseverance and resilience and patience. And I do pray for us all that we would be tougher, more courageous, more persevering as we face our life. So that we would be mature, that we'd be wiser, and that our lives would be more fruitful for your kingdom. God, in this building right now are people who have gone through extraordinary, terrible challenge. And what I know about these people is they are some of the first people we'd ever want to talk to, because of the way they measure their words, the wisdom they have in their life, the way they say less and question more. And I pray, God, that this year you would use any challenge for good. And even if we're in it now, that you might use it to grow us up, to become more like Jesus, and to receive that crown that will last for all eternity. This I pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.